This is Dave Gloetz. Welcome to another in my series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky, who writes on government and politics for the Chicago Reader, on whose cover now appears the slogan, "Kicking Ass Since 1971. Mm-hmm. Ben is someone who has been writing for the Reader a bunch of those years. Do you feel like you've been kicking ass?
Or more likely, I've had my ass kicked.
Well, it doesn't say whose ass is kicked.
Well, no, not by the Reader.
Kicking our writers' asses, maybe.
Don't quote me on this, but I believe that the great McDumkey came up with that idea.
Really?
Yes. Nobody out there quote me on
that. It'll be a rumor. Unsubstantiated.
Unsubstantiated. But I have a dim recollection of Mick coming up with that idea. And I saw it on the cover and I was like, whoa, I like it.
Yeah, you and the Sun Times.
Love the bright one.
Well, today we're talking about an article that appeared in the Reader on August 2nd, 2012, titled "Say It Ain't So, Joe," which I believe is a baseball reference.
That is correct. Your knowledge of sports always impresses
me. Encyclopedic.
And unbelievable how much you know about sports. It's just amazing.
It is unbelievable. And online it's titled "More in Emanuel Block Elected School Board." And that's essentially what the article is about. It's about the idea that Rogers Park Alderman Joe Moore helped quash a non-binding citizen referendum on whether Chicago's school board should be elected. Currently it's appointed completely by Mayor Emanuel. In this article, you talk about the fact that Moore was able to quash this move by other aldermen to attempt to use aldermanic sort of prerogative to get it on the November ballot, this referendum, in Moore's capacity as the chairman of the City Council Human Relations Committee. And so, as you wrote, he sort of quashed this movement for a referendum. How is it that the mayor decides who chairs city council committees? Is this codified in municipal code, or is it just merely accepted by the alderman?
Yes, it is accepted behavior on the part of the alderman, who, as the legislative branch, should have complete control over their business.
Autonomy is the word.
But in the reality of Chicago, the mayor largely dictates who gets to chair a committee, and chairing a committee has some perks. Like I mentioned in the article, first of all, it's the great honor that comes with the title of chairman, so people can call you Mr. Chair or Madam Chair. In addition to that, there's some staff, and then you get to control the meetings where these decisions are made, largely scripted. So the mayor essentially uses his sort of veto power. It's not official, it's informal veto power, to make certain that these positions of honor in the legislative body are doled out only to those who do what he says.
Did Mayor Daley have the same sort of power as Mayor Emanuel?
Absolutely. Mayor Daley. You're talking about Baby Daley? Well, both of them. Old Man Daley, for our listeners out there, was the ruler of Chicago in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, long before any of you were born. And Baby Daley, the one whose reign recently ended, thank goodness. Yes, they did the same thing. I'm trying to think. I don't believe, don't quote me on this, a real true blue independent has ever chaired a committee.
Because of the mayoral appointment.
When it comes to doling out the assignments, and I don't know the exact procedure they follow, the mayor's, no, don't give it to him or her, no.
So how did that develop under Emanuel? Under Daley, I suppose that because he ended up appointing so many of the replacement aldermen, you know, a good percentage of the city council were appointed at one point by Daley, that he could hold sway. How did Emanuel step in and all of a sudden have this, you know, sort of like just inherit it, which is not, as you say, not codified power?
It's amazing how it happened, isn't it? It was a total transfer of power. The great McDumkey and I, the aforementioned great McDumkey and I, wrote a brilliant article, largely overlooked, alas, about the handoff of power from Daley to Emanuel.
I remember that article, the Connect the Dots article.
The Connect the Dots article, and it was clearly a handoff, and the message that was put forth was, we're going from one absolutely all-powerful mayor to another.
But he has to have some hold over the aldermen to do this.
Well, the hold is largely one of fear, and that fear works on several levels. I joke about this, but actually I'm not joking. I believe that Rahm Emanuel is such a forceful, willful personality that he intimidates people. So there's the intimidation of having to deal with an angry F-bomb dropping mayor bellowing at you on the telephone, and I think that works very well. Mayor Daley had that intimidating factor. He would yell and scream, get red, and drop the F-bomb. And as long as we're doing the McDumkey
homage,
as you recall, he threatened to stick a rifle up Mick's rear end. So if you run afoul of either one of these tyrants, despots, whatever you want to call them, there's a personal price to pay. Beyond that, the mayor controls everything. So if you want to have an easier life dealing with the bureaucracy, it pays to
go along.
And most people who get elected aldermen are the go-along types. It's just something about the office that feeds that go-along nature.
Well, let's talk about Alderman Moore, speaking of that type. You write that Alderman Moore's strict reading of council rules helped the mayor hold on to some of his power. You say that this is not in the interest of Chicago's citizenry.
That's my opinion as a columnist.
I got it.
There are those who would disagree with me.
You also said that Moore specifically acted because his fellow elected officials threatened the mayor's power.
Yes.
But you say you won't rail against Alderman Moore for being the mayor's tool because of Moore's past performance. Isn't this exactly the kind of creeping tyranny that we should be railing against? You know, here we have a guy who, as you say, fought the good fight, and now it seemingly has been corrupted by this aforementioned sort of, you know, wielding of power. Isn't this something that we should point out and try to at least provide some negative reinforcement
about? Well, let me put it this way. The word corrupt, Joe, if you're listening, was used by David Gloatz. But corrupt, I believe, you're sort of metaphorical.
I'm talking about the corrupting of someone's, someone's ideals and maybe some in their ethics. Slippery slope,
I have a hard time. I've seen this happen before, by the way. Helen Schiller was a similar case. The reason why I added those lines at the end, and I actually, I believe it, is I feel as though, by and large, Joe Moore, as alderman of the 49th Ward, has provided a good public service to the city of Chicago throughout the 90s and early 00s when he was joining forces on various issues against another all-powerful mayor. I just, on a personal level, I'm a little reluctant to just, throw away all of that and just start bashing the guy. I disagree with him completely on the technicality that he imposed. I believe he should have allowed them to have a hearing. I think it should be on the ballot in those 10 wards because the aldermen want it. I believe the people of Chicago should be examining this issue. If we're trying to figure out what's the best way to operate our schools, it's time we take a look at this management structure where the mayor has all the power. It's obviously not worked. You can't just keep saying, our schools are a failure. We have to relook at things and not relook at how they operate. We look at the weirdest things when it comes to the public schools, So now we're on a crusade to sort of like accelerate all the things that haven't been working, like charter schools haven't been working, or flunking out kids on high stakes testing hasn't been working, or, closing schools randomly here and there and just shuttling kids to other poor low-income schools. That hasn't really worked. All of these policies have been enacted by a board without debate, without discussion, without any apparent thought, critical thinking. I think it's time we reassess that whole procedure. So I completely disagree with what Alderman Joe Moore did, and I think it's pretty obvious in the article. But then at the end, I just say, I'll give you a pass, Joe, in terms of like railing and ranting, which I probably wouldn't have done anyway. I really want to just point out that this is a common practice in Chicago. After a while, an alderman gets tired of fighting the fight. I saw Helen Schiller go through a similar situation. I believe we have talked about that somewhere along the lines.
Well, the job is not a permanent one, he could do something else if he's tired.
Yes, he could leave office, of course. And I say this over and over again and again to our listeners. You, the voter, do not have to permanently reelect the same old people. And Joe Moore had a very close race in 2000, let me get the date right, 7 against Don Gordon. It was a very bizarre race the way it played out. I've since gotten to know Don Gordon. He teaches at Northwestern, and I come in and talk to his class, teaches a political science class at Northwestern. And, he's very independent-minded in the way he teaches the class. And I feel as though in that election, the real issues of independence were not discussed, and that became like a personality fight. Became sort of racially tinged. At the time, Joe had just gotten finished battling Daley on living wage and was being supported by the unions because he had dared to take on the mayor on a very important issue that the mayor was very upset about. In fact, I believe that was the only time, Dan, don't quote me, there could be another time, where the mayor lost a vote on the city council floor. And, of course, he vetoed the measure and was successful by twisting a few arms, aldermanic arms. If you look at it now, Don Gordon is much more of an independent-minded person, the way he talks, and Joe is much more of a go-along person, the way he acts, and to a large degree talks. So I believe that's sort of ironic, I suppose.
Perhaps the malaise of incumbency.
Yes. Well, Joe's been in there since 1991. You know, he's a smart guy, and I know he understands these issues. He was under pressure.
And let's talk about the issue that underlies all this, and that's the issue of an elected school board. As you write in the article, the city of Chicago is the only school district in Illinois in which the school board is not elected. I want to think about this issue of elected versus appointed school boards. The Sun-Times this week had an editorial that said that an elected board, quote, would likely cause more problems than it fixes. Even with the best election system, voter turnout invariably would be low, and the influence of special interest groups would be high, end quote. What's your reaction to that?
I read the editorial. I disagree with the premise. First of all, right now, it's a locked-down system. One person controls it, one special interest. So at the very least, we might have competing special interests.
Which would be an improvement.
What's embedded in that thought is that somehow or other, the other special interests don't have the best interests of Chicago school children, which is sort of the propaganda line that's been thrown out since 1995 when Mayor Daley took over the program. So the idea is that our great benevolent mayor really cares about the school children of Chicago.
More than any other interest.
He doesn't even have an interest other than their interest. That's pure propaganda that's being fed to Chicagoans, most of whom walk through life with their eyes closed and their ears shut and aren't paying attention to anything. So I disagree with that. I think the mayor of Chicago, both Daley and Emanuel, has many different interests at stake here, a lot of them political. In other words, how to placate different forces in the city of Chicago so that he maintains their support. I don't see anything wrong with allowing other interests to step forward, whoever they may be. For instance, I presume they're sort of implying that the Chicago Teachers Union might exercise some influence in an elected school board. That would be interesting to see if they could actually elect somebody. You know, the notion is that there would be suddenly many different independent voices on a school board through an elected school board process. Sort of flies in the face of reality of Chicago political history where
unprecedented.
We're just talking about the city council, nothing but rubber stamps. What I'm hoping, and again, anytime I hope anything, I expose my own naivete, is that just by having a discussion about the issues, you cause people to think a little bit. You alter the mayor's behavior somewhat. It's not so easy just to rubber stamp policy. You have different competing voices articulating different competing views. It's more of a small D democracy. That's what I would hope an elected school board would accomplish. I don't believe that whatever body they would come up with, and it's a long shot that we ever come up with this thing at all, but let's say there's 11 positions, just for the sake of argument. I don't believe that it's possible that six anti-mayoral votes would emerge. But if there was just one, you know, as I always say about the city, if we just had one Leon Dupre,
it would make a difference.
It would make a difference. If nothing else, it forces the mainstream media to cover these things. I keep saying this, the emergence of a strong teachers union has really shaped the media coverage of public education
the
in
conversation.
Chicago.
Yeah. Well, on that hopeful note, we'll leave it there. Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, David.
If you'd like to hear more of our interviews, please go to MrRadio.org, where you'll find instructions on how to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss a single interview. Or you can search on iTunes for Ben Jarofsky or for me, Dave Glowatz. Thanks for listening.